Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Wednesday, October 9th. I'm Lauren Schmidt, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, everything you need to know about Humboldt County elections, bomb threat at Eureka High School, and a proposed noise ordinance in Mendocino. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. Eureka High School was evacuated this afternoon following a bomb threat reported to school officials and law enforcement. Social media posts from students and parents on campus indicated a significant law enforcement presence, including a bomb squad. However, Eureka Police Department confirmed with our news partner, Redheaded Black Belt, that the buildings were cleared and one student was detained. Further details are expected as the investigation continues. The 2024 general election is less than a month away, where local voters will decide city council races, county measures, statewide propositions, and representatives for Assembly, Senate, Congress, and President. Vote-by-mail ballots and voter information guides were sent out to all registered voters earlier this week. And Juan Pablo Cervantes, the Humboldt County Clerk Recorder and Registrar of Voters, spoke with KMUD News to share an update on all things elections.
All actively registered voters in the county are going to be receiving their vote-by-mail ballot. So keep an eye on those and expect to start getting those. In addition to that, in order to actually cast your ballot, you can vote by mail if you'd like. That's always going to be an option for you. You can mail as soon as you get your ballot in the mail, you can fill it out and pop it right back in the mail. You could also drop it off at any of our drop boxes. Those are located throughout the county, everywhere from Willow Creek all the way down to Redway.
Ballot drop box locations are listed in the voter information guide and include Ray's Food Place in Willow Creek, Arcata, and Fortuna, Murphy's Market in Trinidad, Arcata, and McKinleyville, and ShopSmart in Redway. In-person vote centers will also be established.
These are places that you can go to and get a replacement ballot if you need one, or you can vote in person. Our 11-day vote centers opening on October 26th. Those are in Arcata and Fortuna. After that, we'll have our 4-day vote centers open starting on November 2nd through that weekend. Those are going to be located in Arcata, Eureka, Rio Del, which is a new spot for us, and McKinleyville. And then we'll have a few additional vote centers open on Election Day. That's in Hoopa, Ferndale, Garberville, McKinleyville, and Eureka.
The vote center at the Humboldt County Office of Elections is now open until 8 p.m. Election Day. In-person vote centers will also open on October 26th in Arcata at the Community Center and the Fortuna Veterans Memorial Building. Other in-person vote centers will open on November 2nd at Cal Poly Humboldt, the Jolly Giant Commons, the College of the Redwoods Gym, the Humboldt County Office of Elections, the Jefferson Community Center in Eureka, Monument Middle School in Rio Del, McKinleyville Middle School, and on Election Day, November 5th, at the Hoopa Neighborhood Facility, the Humboldt County Fairgrounds in Ferndale, the Redwood Playhouse in Garberville, and the Center at McKinleyville, as well as the Eureka Veterans Hall. Again, you can see the full list in the Humboldt County Voter Registration Guide.
If you live in Hoopa but work in Fortuna, and it's more convenient for you to pop into a vote center and vote in Fortuna, you can go ahead and do that. We are able to accommodate that. You don't have to go to a place that you were assigned because you weren't assigned any place in particular.
And Cervantes says there is a new way to vote this election.
We gave it a trial run in the primary, and we really liked how effectively and secure it kept things. One of the questions we've received historically is, I got my vote by mail ballot in, and when I show up to vote in person, I have to surrender it and they give me another ballot and vote on it. Can I just vote the ballot that was mailed to me and put it in the ballot box at a vote center? And we'll have a new way to do that. So we'll have an express lane where if you voted that vote by mail ballot that we sent you and you bring it into a vote center because you want to vote in person, you can get in your own special line, check in, sign our roster, and place it directly into the ballot box. So that'll be an express way to get your vote in.
He explained that the Humboldt County Office of Elections has conducted its logic and accuracy testing, which ensures the election and voting equipment function as expected and accurately count votes as marked.
That's something that we do according to law. I think it's state and federal law. And it's a mechanism whereby we check to make sure that the computers that we use are doing what we tell them to do. And so we have a test set of ballots that we've pre-marked, and we know, what the result should be with that test deck. And we run that test deck through the voting system and confirm that if you mark yes on measure 2050, that it records yes on measure 2050.
And to ensure transparency, they've invited the public to be a part of the process.
Televising it and really shifting to like an outreach perspective, meeting folks where they're at when it comes to some of this transparency work that we do. That's a newer thing where we in our office believe that misinformation happens in the absence of correct information. So the more we're able to get to folks, the more they're going to be inoculated from false information. We're always trying to be a little more transparent. We know that it's hard for a county as big of ours to have you show up to our office in Eureka at 10 a.m. for this. So we actually put it, we go through Access Humboldt and put it on TV and on YouTube. So you're able to watch from home if you want to. And then you could always come in person as well. So we had two observers help us through that process. And it's just one more step towards making sure everything is done accurately and transparently.
No issues were noted during this year's test, but he says his office has received other concerns from voters.
One of the big things that I keep hearing about, and we've gotten a fair amount of calls on, is regarding non-citizens voting. That's something that doesn't happen in California. There are laws in place that create some really punitive consequences if a non-citizen attempts to register to vote and vote. We have mechanisms in place to check everything. So when you fill out your voter registration card, you give us a bunch of information. We give you a voter ID, and then we investigate that information. We check your name, your social security, driver's license, date of birth with DMV records and social security records, and verify that you are indeed who you are and that you're eligible to vote.
When asked if undocumented individuals voting has occurred locally, he says,
I don't think it's happened at all in Humboldt County that we've looked through. We do investigate everything. We've seen, dual voting is something that we've caught and sent to the district attorney's office and reported up to the state, and we've caught that. And so part of our certification process is we're kind of buttoning down the hatches, making sure everything is ship shape in the process, and that's why it takes so long. But when it comes to non-citizens voting, that's just not something. The data that I've seen, out of the, I think it's called the Brennan Center out of Harvard, is that they did an investigation for 2016, and out of every ballot cast in that election, they found something like 40 instances of a non-citizen attempting to vote. And that's kind of a staggering number when you think about it, 40 out of the entire nation. So that number out of millions of voters. So it's not something that happens often. It's not statistically significant. And when, there's attempts to do it, we definitely do everything we can to prosecute that kind of crime.
He reiterated that checks and balances are in place to ensure a safe and fair election.
I think we have the Cadillac system of ensuring election integrity when it comes to that. We have that threefold process. We have that logic and accuracy test that I just talked about that we do before ballots even go out, just to make sure everything's working correctly. and then are scanning. All of that process is open to the public, so folks can watch us do the work if they're interested in coming into our office when we're scanning or checking or processing ballots. And then we do a 1% manual tally after we've gotten all the ballots in. So we'll randomly pick out 1% of the batches of ballots. It's usually more than 1%. We always go a little more than we have to, just because we want to make sure we're auditing ourselves as much as possible within reason. And then beyond that, we take it a step further than I think anyone else in the state. And many folks in Humboldt County know about the Transparency Project, but I always love to brag about them and highlight the dedicated work these volunteers do. They're a third-party nonprofit separate from the elections office that, while maintaining a solid chain of custody in collaboration with us, they scan every ballot and make it so that those numbers can be compared. So they use their own machines, their own software, and they're able to highlight if there's any kind of inaccuracies of counting, if there's more or less. And back when they were created, they were responsible for a voting system being decertified by the state because they found a discrepancy. And so the work they do is just that extra step that when you combine that logic inaccuracy test, that 1% manual tally, and the work of the Transparency Project, I can't see how you can get to a better place. The problem with hand counting is that it you know humans weren't we haven't evolved to count large numbers. And ballots come in large numbers. And so anytime you start to hand count anything, you're going to find discrepancies. And the research has shown that. And so hand counting, I think, leads to less accuracy, and it doesn't really provide much in the way of value. Doing the 1% is something that you have to be really methodical about in order to do it accurately. To go to a 100% manual tally would just, in order to do it correctly, would just take a significant amount of time.
And as for what Humboldt County will be voting on during this election.
We're going to have depending on where you live, we're going to have a few we're going to have some city council races. A few school districts, community service districts are going to be getting their board of directors through the ballot process. And on the state side, we'll have folks voting for US Senate partial and full term. So folks are going to be able to vote for that same seat twice. One part of that is voting for what's remaining of the current term that ends in January. And the second contest is for that same seat, but it's going to fill the next full term that starts when the current one ends. And that's due to a vacancy we had. We'll have a congressional contest on there and state assembly contest on there. And we're a top two primary state. So it's going to be the folks that were the top two vote getters in the primary.
The North Coast State Assembly District incumbent Jim Woods did not seek re-election, and the top two vote getters are Democratic candidate Chris Rogers and Republican Michael Greer. KMA News will be airing a live debate with both candidates hosted by the League of Women Voters and KEET TV on Wednesday, October 16th from 7 to 8 p.m. And North Coast Representative Congressman Jared Huffman is also up for re-election, facing a Republican challenger, Chris Colombi. And there is a series of local and state measures on the ballot.
We have a series of school districts and fire protection districts seeking additional tax revenue. In the city of Eureka, we have Measure F, which has been covered a lot in the news. It's tied to zoning and city planning, so there's not much I can offer, but you'll be able to see what the city attorney thinks of through the impartial analysis and the what proponents and opponents think through the arguments for and against in the voter information guide. And then we have one county-wide measure, which is Measure O, transactions and use tax measure that's pitched to be tied to roads. And so those are some of the things. The wonderful thing about the voter information guide is that it guides you through those processes. So there's impartial analysis for all the measures, and there are arguments for and against depending on if somebody put one in. On top of that, we have the state propositions, and there's quite a few of them. I'm saying there's 11 of them.
The Secretary of State has also sent the California Elections Voter Information Guide with statewide propositions and their impartial analysis. We will air a special on those on a later newscast. And while there are no supervisorial races this election, there are multiple city council contests.
So we've got the city of Arcata, Eureka, Fortuna, Blue Lake, and Ferndale, and Trinidad. So all of our major cities are going to be on the ballot.
You can hear our Meet the Candidate series with Eureka City Council candidates at kmud.org. Or you can request a link by emailing news@kmud.org. On Monday, October 14th from 7 to 8 p.m., we will also live stream the candidate forum with Eureka City Council Wards 2 and 4 candidates. We are currently conducting our Arcata City Council Meet the Candidate series and will be announcing those on a later date. But if you haven't yet registered to vote, Cervante says there is still time, even up to Election Day.
Because in California, we'll figure it out up until the day. And, you know, the longer you wait, it might be, there might be more to the process. So if you're showing up on Election Day, you may have to vote what's called the conditional provisional ballot. That just means we're going to register you, have you cast your ballot into an envelope, we'll confirm your registration, and then count your ballot. All those ballots do get counted when they're for eligible voters. But we will help you through to Election Day. The sooner you register, the more options you have to vote.
He encourages all eligible residents to make a plan and get out to vote.
Voting is one of those things, it's kind of like homework. The more you put it off, the less likely it is for you to do it. And so the sooner you get your plan going, you figure out who and what you want to vote for. And if you're pretty confident you know who and what you want to vote for, the sooner you vote, the better. It gives my office time to process your vote by mail ballot and get it all sorted out so that your vote counts on election night. But it makes it less likely for something to get in the way of you getting that ballot in the mailbox or coming in to vote.
And once you cast your vote, you can track it online.
Where's My Ballot is the name of the website. It's wheresmyballot.sos.ca.gov. Again, wheresmyballot.sos.ca.gov. You could sign up for it where you get an email or a text or even a phone call. And you'll get called when the ballot gets mailed to you. You'll get called when the post office gets your ballot as you're mailing it back to me. You'll get messaged when I receive the ballot and when your ballot gets counted. And if there's any issues, so say you forget to sign your ballot, you'll get a notification letting you know that there's an issue with your ballot in terms of the signature. And you'll also get something in the mail and a phone call directly from my office when that happens as well. We're trying to cure those missing signature ballots.
Sharing his final remarks, he hopes all will be empowered to get out and vote.
One of the biggest barriers for voting isn't, you know, it's not me kicking people off the rolls. It's not us, you know, limiting polling places and polling opportunities. It's low information. It's that folks, you know, don't necessarily aren't tapped into to get the information they need to feel empowered to vote. And so I'm really grateful for you taking this time and for all the coverage you do when it comes to elections. The work you do leads to a higher voter turnout and more enfranchisement. So thank you.
For more information, you can visit humboldtgov.org/elections. We will bring more election coverage for our Mendocino listeners on a later date. In addition, you can tune into KMUD on election night as we bring you live coverage November 5th from 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. Turning to Mendocino, Ukiah gets a grant for an urban forest. KZYX's Elise Cox and Sydney Fishman share this report.
Supervisor Glenn McGordy brought his proposal for a noise ordinance before the County Board of Supervisors at the last meeting and found wide support and also opposition from a resident who loves her roosters.
Good morning. My name is Maureen Phillips. I wasn't going to speak, but I'm here to save my roosters. Donald and Richard deserve to have a happy life. They do crow. But I'm going to call them my guardian roosters. When the skunk comes to the chicken coop, the roosters go off. When somebody comes in the yard, the roosters go off. And I was a little concerned with what this young lady said about if you get a noise complaint and you get a citation and you go to fight it, that you may be responsible for paying all the fees of everybody that the court costs and the deputies. If you have a vindictive neighbor, that I may have one, and they constantly call and you keep getting citations and you want to fight it, is that then going to adversely affect your finances? That's a concern for, not a super big concern, but it could be a concern.
Supervisor Williams, did you have a question for the speaker?
Yeah, just some point of clarification, hopefully. I don't want to take your roosters away.
Williams explained that the goal of the ordinance is to give the sheriff and his deputies another tool to help address loud and unpermitted disturbances. After some discussion, the supervisors voted unanimously to move forward with the ordinance. In other news, the city of Ukiah has won a $1.4 million grant to invest in an urban forest and to plant more than 700 trees. California Local News fellow Sydney Fishman has the story.
The city of Ukiah was named as one of 22 statewide projects to receive a grant aimed at addressing climate change in urban settings. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, Urban Community Forestry Program, and the United States Department of Agriculture are giving $31 million in grant funds to projects throughout the state under the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. The program funds environmental projects in California cities. Most of the projects intend to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, improve urban forests, and increase opportunities for environmental careers. Ukiah's grant of over $1,399,000 will fund a climate-resilient forest project, which is a plan to create a climate-resilient urban forest by planting hundreds of new trees throughout the city. During a city council meeting earlier this month, Chief Resilience Officer Blake Adams outlined how the grant will fund planting 722 trees in Ukiah. Approximately 400 trees will be planted on city-owned property, such as parks and recreation centers. The city plans to hold community events for volunteers to plant about 200 of those trees.
A big portion of the program, it requires, which I would say is a good thing, and we would plan on doing this anyway, but it requires us to engage with the community at length in a real meaningful way. The way that we're thinking about it is like weekend mass planting events where folks from the community can come out and volunteer, learn about the value of trees, but then also help us plant trees on that same day in that activity. But ahead of all of the actual tree planting, we'll be engaging with the communities and really seeking their input on what types of trees they want to see.
Adams says the initial events will help the city engage with the community and understand what types of trees residents want to see and receive feedback on where to plant them.
The goal is to really get the community involved and you know, it helps to increase awareness, but also it helps us to plant a whole bunch of trees really quickly. You know, I can't really specify yet as to how many there will be. Again, it'll be sort of budget, you know, funding.
According to Adams, the grant will also fund two other programs to support low-income families and small businesses. One is called Ditch Your Lawn, a community assistance program that will provide $50,000 to low-income households to plant 120 trees on private properties. The other, the Green Parking Lots program, will provide $75,000 to small businesses to remove concrete and plant trees around their stores. There will also be improvements to 4 miles of the city's rail trail and the Great Redwood Trail corridor. Additionally, the grant will help fund 3 new jobs with the city of Ukiah, including that of the Climate Resilient Forest Project Program Manager. Adams says that the project will be funded for 3 years, but the city will need to find longer-term funding after that. He says that receiving public feedback is important in creating a program that supports the people of Ukiah.
You know, actual implementation will really be dictated by more community engagement. Obviously, everyone here is very excited to hear some news, and it's really great. It's going to mean a lot to the community.
For KZYX News, I'm Sydney Fishman, a reporter for the Mendocino Voice and a California Local News Fellow.
In state news, California facilities could turn sewage into tap water, but public acceptance lags. Kathleen Shannon reports.
As the West becomes hotter and drier, governments and experts want to diversify drinking water sources. And California is just one state looking to a culturally taboo water source, sewage. Orange County is the first in the U.S. to recycle every ounce of its wastewater. That's 130 million gallons of water purified every day, or enough to fill nearly 200 Olympic-sized swimming pools. Right now, that water is being used to replenish the local groundwater aquifer, but it's actually potable. Darren Polimis with the California State Water Resources Control Board says reusing it as drinking water makes both scientific and economic sense.
We spend a lot of money and energy moving water from different parts of the state to Southern California where it's used. Use it once, dump it in the ocean. That's maybe not the smartest way to deal with a resiliency question.
California's state water officials are slated to greenlight new rules this month that would allow counties to purify wastewater and inject it immediately into the drinking supply. Cities including Los Angeles and San Diego plan to recycle wastewater similarly in the next decade. Regulators in Colorado, Florida, Iowa, and Kansas are also looking at how to use recycled water more effectively. One big hurdle is public acceptance. Several treatment facilities, including in Orange County, offer public tours and demonstrations. Director of the Berkeley Water Center, David Sedlak, says that helps build trust and acceptance over an issue that's taboo in just about every culture.
Those cultural taboos are there to protect us, but in the modern world, they don't always make a lot of sense.
Sedlak says people may not realize the quality of their normal drinking water, which could already contain runoff from city streets and farm and ranch operations. This story was produced with original reporting from Matt Vassilagombros and Kevin Hardy for Stateline. I'm Kathleen Shannon with California News Service.
Today is the second Wednesday of the month, which means it's time for our regularly scheduled County Conversations check-in with Supervisor Michelle Bushnell. However, due to time constraints, you can catch that full interview on tomorrow night's newscast. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Larry Lashley. And thanks to our reporters, Elise Cox and Sydney Fishman. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.